Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Labyrinths in the News. Today is the ninth day of the planetary dog moon manifestation, Seli Root Chakra, yellow self-existing seed day. The affirmation is, I define in order to target. Measuring awareness, I seal the input of flowering with the self-existing tone of form. I am guided by the power of elegance. It's also Gregorian calendar, Monday, April 12, 2010. I'm your host, Christiana, coming to you live from the Couve. That's Vancouver, Washington, across the river from Portland, Oregon, as I will be doing most every Monday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. My lead-in music is the first cut off of Icos, short for icosahedron, the water symbol and sacred geometry. This is off of Susan Alexander's CD, Sequentia. If any of you would like to chat while we're on the air, please go to Christiana-Anea at blogtalkradio.com. Today, my guest is Chris McCullough, and she is one of the founders of the Labyrinth Ladies. It's now a subsidiary of Eight Rivers Council for the Sacred Arts. Chris is a Virtitas-certified Labyrinth facilitator with a master's in holistic counseling. She is a certified expressive arts therapist and body talk practitioner with a private practice in energetic healing and spiritual counseling in Newport, Rhode Island, one of my favorite places. Thank you, Chris, for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Christiane.
Well, it's great to talk to you. I'm sorry Victoria couldn't make it on the show as well. Maybe at some point or another we can get both of you on together.
Well, that would be great. Right now she's at Kripalu up in Lenox, Mass, doing a workshop, and I did suggest that she called in, but that's, you know, in the event that she can get away from her workshop. So she may call in, she may not, but she's here in spirit.
Okay, great. Can you talk, I saw that you have a mission statement for the Labyrinth Ladies on your website. Can you talk a bit about that, first of all?
Yeah, the Labyrinth Ladies is dedicated to bringing the healing power of the labyrinth into the awareness of our community. And we believe the labyrinth can foster nonviolent solutions to issues, inspire creativity, and bring about clarity and focus. We also, because Victoria and myself are both therapists, we use it in our healing practice with our clients for those very reasons.
And so tell us a little bit about yourself then, Chris. When did you first walk a labyrinth, and how did that evolve into a partnership with Victoria?
Well, I have a pretty eclectic past. I started off as an artist and also studied for 17 years with Oshana Fastwolf, so I have a background in shamanism, and I've always been interested in noetics and the things of the mind and how the mind works and how we can transcend the mind in positive ways. And in 1992, I walked my first labyrinth. Victoria, who grew up in England, was very familiar with the labyrinth form, and she brought the labyrinth experience to Newport in an event called the Women's Sacred Art Exhibit and Festival. And it was a week-long festival, which over 10 years turned into a three-week-long festival, that featured women artists of all ages and of any medium. The criteria was to express your spiritual nature and through the arts. And Victoria presented a labyrinth, and I remember the night. It was a full moon on a Hallowmas weekend, and it was in a Celtic, a little tiny Celtic graveyard that was a church, actually, with the graveyard was all Celtic symbols and what have you, that's here in Middletown. And it was absolutely luminous. She had Hildegard's music playing, torches lit. It was just the most beautiful thing under this absolutely gorgeous full moon. And it was transcendent. It just rocked your soul, in other words. And I said mm-hmm. to myself immediately, I've got to learn how to do this. So I went up to her, and we forged a relationship. I ended up subsequently helping her with the next 9 years of women's sacred art. Sorry, someone was trying to... Sorry. For the next 9 years, we just worked together offering Labyrinth with the Women's Sacred Arts events. And eventually, you know, time passes, and we decided to sort of make it official and became the Labyrinth Ladies in order to bring this to the community at large.
So what kind of labyrinth? I'm sorry if I missed that. What kind of labyrinth was it that she made there for that special?
She made the traditional Seven Circuit Labyrinth out of cornmeal. And that's our niche. I mean, it's very difficult to, as you know, getting a canvas labyrinth is not only expensive, but then you also have transportation and, you know, schlepping it to one place to another or finding a space big enough to accommodate it. I mean, we now have a 24-foot chakra labyrinth, a petite chakra labyrinth. To find a space big enough to accommodate it can be difficult. But Victoria and I both sort of went back to the basics and went back to that seven circuit form. And our thing, our gig, if you will, has been to take that here, there, and everywhere and make labyrinths on the beach, in the woods, and backyards, in spaces that are too small to accommodate a greater labyrinth. We'll do it with tape on a floor. We'll do it with luminaria. We'll do it with outdoors. We'll do it with biodegradable materials. And that works. That seems to work.
And you said that that you use this in your practices, too. And I remember asking this of Eve Hogan, too, who does the same thing. Mm-hmm. When you have people in therapy, is it something that you introduce at a specific time during the session, or do you offer it to them, or how do you make it available to your clients?
Well, I may start by offering it to them with a handheld labyrinth where they can go into a meditative state, either with sound healing as an accompaniment, usually with the purpose of processing information, getting very quiet, reflective, and then when they come out of that experience of just with using their finger on a handheld labyrinth, we might process that through art. And then we had, up until recently, we just changed offices. So until recently, we had created an outdoor labyrinth on the property of our former offices, and we could take clients outside to actually walk a physical labyrinth as part of their process.
Okay. Well, I have more questions, but I'm going to get back to that. You state on your website that walking labyrinths, and I quote, can help you de-stress, increase creativity and productivity, heal emotions, and bring you to peace. What have been some of your own personal experiences in this regard?
Well, a lot of the experiences I've had have been really through my clients. I mean, I'm always part of a process. When I lead a labyrinth walk, I usually walk the labyrinth as well. And as you know, in your own work, there's always a give and take. There's always an exchange, a reciprocal exchange when you teach something or offer it as a workshop and then also get the energy back from the participants. And just in watching people go through this process, it's been really, incredible. I was at a conference in Florida a couple of years back. I don't know if you were at the same conference. It was with Kathy Luge. It was Healing with Art and Soul in St. Petersburg. And I submitted an article, which is now in a compilation called Healing with Art and Soul by Cambridge Press. And the article is called As Within, So Without. And it showed examples of people's artwork before and after they walked a labyrinth as part of their therapy, no names included, of course. But so it sort of offered it as mini case studies, showing when before someone walked the labyrinth, their drawings might have been chaotic, angry, or discordant. And then after walking the labyrinth, working with their drawings and art, it was much more fluid, calm, and peaceful. And oftentimes they made breakthroughs in their therapy work after walking the labyrinth. So those are rather, concrete examples of how that left brain, right brain hemispheric balance can really make a difference in someone's perceptions. Then there were times when I remember one woman who had been working through several years of grief. Her husband passed away. And she still missed him terribly, and she actually came to me because she said she couldn't hear her angels anymore. And after walking the labyrinth, she came out of her walk, and she drew this absolutely beautiful picture of an angel, and she said, "I could hear them all around me. I could feel them walking with me." And, and that was her healing breakthrough around the death of her husband. So, you see it firsthand.
And do you only work with a certain age group, or do you work with teens and young people too? Or
I work across the board. I've done several workshops. The most recent one was with the Channing Memorial Church, which is a Universalist Unitarian church here in Newport, and I worked with their teen group and did an introduction to a labyrinth and a labyrinth walk with them. And then we actually have offered it to even younger kids. There's this really great picture on my website of these little kids dancing on the labyrinth, literally leaping and dancing. And that just gives us great joy because, as Vicki will relate, one of the origins, we're both mythologists also and ceremonialists. And going way, way, way back in time to the beginnings of the labyrinth 4,000 years ago, it said that its use was in this dance called the crane dance. And the crane dance was a ritual celebration using the labyrinth form. And it was comprised of participants taking 9 steps and a hop, which was supposed to reflect the crane's flight. And there was this, just spontaneously, these little children were doing a crane dance on the labyrinth without any instruction. So those types of things really are synchronistic.
Yeah, children just pick up on the energy really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And like glom it. It's like they're sponges.
Absolutely. Quite naturally. And the other population that does that are disabled. I worked for 3 years for a group called Looking Upwards, and a lot of the autistic children really gravitated towards the labyrinth, and Looking Up just happened to have their office above our offices, and the kids would come out if they were in group or social group, and they would come out and play in the labyrinth and just have the greatest time walking through it in and out, sort of knowing what to do. Oftentimes stopping in the center and doing offering. I mean, it was just beautiful.
That's two groups, the Alzheimer's patients and autistic or Asperger's syndrome patients,
mm-hmm.
or people with children with Asperger's syndrome and more severe autism, are two groups that not enough study has been done with them but certainly should be, because they certainly seem to be helped with that, with the spiral process and with the walking.
Oh, yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's the same group also responds very well to things like Reiki and yoga, both of which we use.
What is tell me about the Eight Rivers Council for the Sacred Arts, and why did you decide to merge the Labyrinth Ladies with this? It's a nonprofit, right?
Yes, it is. It's a nonprofit. Well, Vicki and her husband, Swami Shivananda, who's an Ayurvedic specialist here in Newport, had started Women's Sacred Art in order to foster the Eight Rivers Council on the Arts, in order to foster, first of all, the Women's Sacred Arts events The Eight Rivers wants, its mission is to foster dialogue and interaction between artists and healers and sacred traditions, and to wed spiritual consciousness with the creative process. So they really believe that growth and transformation in our culture depends on recognizing and celebrating our interconnection with each other and all living things. Well, it's sort of a no-brainer. I mean, that is what the labyrinth for us is all about. And we found, too, that because we're trying to take our work and we want it to be accessible to people, it really did behoove us to become a nonprofit. And instead of going through a separate process, it just seemed logical to be assumed, as it were, by Eight Rivers. And that way we could keep our costs down considerably and make it more accessible for people.
And so do you have across the board all sorts of different types of ceremonies and on with the labyrinth with Eight Rivers involved? I mean, do you have dance events as well as and rituals and things like that, as well as a more standard, you know, beginner labyrinth walk and things like that?
Yes, we hold celebrations around Earth Day, around the solstices and equinoxes. We go to various gatherings. There was one recently that Landmark Hospital put on, to work with health and healing. We sort of take our show on the road and work in a variety of ways. Eight Rivers is our parent company. Lately, Vicki has been being taken away by her work at Kripalu up in Lenox, Kripalu Yoga Center. So the labyrinth has been taken over more by my partnership with Judith Medeiros, who is, she became our new labyrinth lady. She also got her certification with Lauren Artris, same time I did. And she is more towards the Christian spiritual bent, and we tend more towards the ancient mythological bent, and the two seem to work hand in hand. So now we have a workshop coming up actually in May at the Healing Co-op, and then again in June at Lotus Rising Wellness Center in Fall River. And both of those workshops, Judith and I will do a training for healers and therapists, and to give them an idea of both the Seventh Circuit, what they can do with the Seventh Circuit Labyrinth, and we also have a Chakra Labyrinth, and Judith generally runs that part of the program.
And what is your name, Judith what?
Judith Medeiros. She is also the person who is going to be offering the workshop on April 18th for Women in Recovery, Walking the Labyrinth, the recovery path on the labyrinth.
And that's at St. Barnabas Church in
Portsmouth. Yes.
And that is about recovering from
alcoholism, addiction. Yeah. It's an addiction. It's working with the 12 steps. So we've been working on this quite some time since we did our initial big workshop out on Block Island at the Ecumenical Retreat Center there last year. And it was a germ of an idea at the time, and we've been refining it ever since because it's a natural use of the Chakra Labyrinth. And, you know, there's your 12 steps at each turning. So we've been sort of refining that idea, and Judith will be offering it on the 18th.
And how is it a day long?
It's an evening. It goes from,
6 p.m. to,
6 to 8. So probably, I mean, we've looked at the recovery, using recovery in the Chakra Labyrinth in a couple of ways. That first, you could take each step singularly and walk the Chakra Labyrinth holding each step. So, you know, just one step, you'd have a 12-week program, for instance, or 12 parts of a program. The other would be to walk the entire labyrinth with each turning being a step along the recovery path. And then if people, as they often do in recovery, maybe haven't mastered that particular step, could keep walking, go to the next one until, you know, and then come back and rewalk it. So we've been playing with both ideas, and whenever you're breaking into something new, you just have to try it out, you know. So we're doing it with good intentions.
Do you accompany these walks with printed material and music, or it depends on the walker?
No, usually we always have some printed material to explain to participants exactly what we are doing and why, and also a little bit about what a labyrinth can do or what we perceive it's doing, which for me, it's as a holistic counselor, is balancing the left and right hemispheres of the brain. That's what I believe it does. So as you walk, you're literally turning the dial on your radio, on your brain radio, and until you tweak it and get right to the center, and you've hit reception, more or less. So we explain that. We explain the sort of left-right hemisphere scientific aspect of the labyrinth. We also explain that it's a form that's over 4,000 years old and appears multiculturally all over the world since Neolithic times. So it has a very ancient history. It's not new. And then Judith brings some emphasis on the traditional Christian use of the labyrinth from that aspect. So we try to cover all the bases and always have a handout. So people walk away with information.
Because the 12-step, there's always that aspect of the higher power, you know, giving yourself, giving it up to your higher power. And so that is brought into this particular seminar?
Yes, it would be. Yes, it would be. I would assume that most of the people signing up for the seminar would have some experience with the 12-step, the traditional 12-step program. Or some experience with overcoming other addictions, whether it's food, because these can apply, whether it's food or drugs or alcohol, it's all the 12 steps apply.
Yeah.
It's a very, very good form.
Is it a certain age group that attends?
You know, it depends. I'm going to assume that for this particular program, it's probably going to be women, and they're probably going to run anywhere from mid-20s up. But, yeah, we've had all age groups. Like I said, we've offered this program for children. We've offered it, for elderly. So it goes across the board. At our summer solstice, events, we might have kids that are, 6 years old and their grandmothers, multifamily, you know.
Right. Well, I looked at some of the past retreats that you've done, and the one on Block Island really caught my eye. Of course, I love Block Island. I have biked all over it, and I'm from the East Coast, so I know it well. But what was that all about? Can you tell a little bit about that? Are you going to do it again?
I hope to do it again. I wanted to do it again this year, but the economy was such we didn't get much of a response, even though the price was $450 including room and board. You can't get much lower than that. Right off the bat, a trip to Block Island round trip can cost you $90. But it was a beautiful, beautiful retreat center. It's this charming little place with several cottages and a yoga studio. It's on the north end of Block Island. It's very quiet. It's right abuts a bird sanctuary and a beach. It's just charming. You have this absolutely, if you go to the website, I had to keep the pictures up even though this happened last year, because the accommodations are darling. They're a huge kitchen. We brought in a cook. We brought in my friend who's a chef, and she did some really excellent food. We had the use of this enormous 11th Circuit Labyrinth. There's a picture of it on the website from the air. It's just absolutely incredible on the property. And we did yoga in the morning. We did some Tai Chi and Qigong. People had time to take a walk and go into the town for lunch. And it has just really nice accommodation. So it was small, intimate. We fit everybody. We were maxed out on that one, and it was an incredible journey. We made hand labyrinths. There's one on the website. We had an evening walk. We had a public walk for members of the Block Island community on the first Friday that we were there, the Friday evening we were there, just to introduce ourselves to the population on the island, and had a PowerPoint presentation on an introduction to the labyrinth before we started, you know, in depth with the members who came along, the participants who came along. So that is really, I would love to do that again this year. And I guess we'll have to see how the economy is.
What was the title or the theme for that retreat?
It was our Expressive Arts Labyrinth Retreat. So we were doing a lot of processing, working with the chakras, working with energy, working with expressive arts. We did some mask making. We made hand labyrinths. So it was it was primarily for the artistic expression, using the labyrinth as that sort of focus and enhancing creativity.
And you'd want to do that same kind of thing this year?
Well, I would like to. Judith would like to do the 12th step, which also I think would have an audience. So we're just waiting to see how it feels. Mm-hmm. Which one would be, you know, waiting for some sort of sign that will tell us the right one to do.
Mm-hmm. You also visited Sedona,
and you had
some synchronistic labyrinthic experiences there. Can you relate some of this wonderful experiences that you had?
Absolutely. Well, one of my other jobs, if you will, is I'm also a psychic. I have been a holistic tarot reader for 35 years. And I was invited by two of my students and clients to accompany them to Sedona. They sort of, you know, wanted some spiritual guidance. And so I said, this sounds like fun. So the whole trip was very synchronistic. The first thing, we landed in Phoenix and we're driving towards Sedona. We're about an hour early to check into our hotel. And out of the clear blue sky, because we were going to be talking about other things like vortexes and energy, but one of the girls just started asking me about my labyrinth work. And so I started to explain to her that the native peoples of the Americas also had labyrinths and worked with them, and that these are about 4,000 years old, the labyrinth form. So as synchronicity will, you know, we're a little early. We stop at the visitor's center. We walk in the door, and there's this huge poster with, what do you think, labyrinths in it. You know, you can see them very, very clearly. And so I asked the guide, I said, where is this? And they said, oh, yeah, it's just down the road. It'll take you 5 minutes to get down there, the V-Bar V Ranch. It's a heritage site. And so off we go. And there is this incredible wall. It's enormous, about 4,000 years old. And it has symbols that if someone is a student of Celtic mythology or European forms, people would recognize these same symbols showing up here in North America. So there's the labyrinth in the full view on this wall and all these ritual symbols around it. So that started us off. And my task for the girls was to use various cards. I had brought the 2012 cards, actually, the 2012 Oracle with me. And we were to draw a card every morning and just follow the insight of the cards. And, you know, right off the bat, that morning, I had chosen a card that said scorpion, and the girls had chosen parrot. And as we're walking either, you know, to the path, to the wall, there in the middle of our walk is a scorpion claw. Bingo. And once we got to the wall, the caretaker was starting to tell us about these parrot skulls that had gotten buried on the site in some kivas. Or ceremonial sites. So it was like, oh, yeah, synchronicity is talking to us. We better listen.
If they had parrots way back then, there must have been a lot more water. It must have been a much more tropical environment.
Well, I think what it was is that was a big trading site. If you, you know, those areas throughout New Mexico and Arizona were very much connected to South America. In fact, in Canyon de Chelly, You will, if you go there, the guides will tell you that there are actually kivas nearby that have signs on them or petroglyphs on them that reflect totems in South America. So there was obviously a trade route. So these could have been parrots that were brought as gifts or offerings or what have you. It's very possible. I mean, the guy didn't know where they came from. He just mentioned it, but it was odd that he mentioned it. And then we were looking for labyrinths. There is a beautiful labyrinth on a retreat center called Angel Therapy Retreat, but we couldn't get there in time. This was only a four-day trip. Well, we found one, a very unusual labyrinth, at Los Abrigados, which is a resort. It's like a timeshare and resort in the middle of Sedona. And this labyrinth is extremely unusual. It's called the Go With the Flow Labyrinth, and it was actually built by an MIT-trained brain scientist whose name is Pete Sanders, Jr. And he designed this labyrinth specifically to maximize one's ability to work in harmony. And he was really working with the left brain, right brain connection. So that instead of in our traditional labyrinths, like the chakra labyrinth or the seventh circuit, it's unicursal, one way in and one way out. This particular labyrinth takes you in, so you walk the entire left side of the brain, so to speak, go to the center, switch paths, and walk the entire right side, coming out a different way than you entered. So you enter from the side of, say, the noisy, you know, golf carts and where people live, or timeshares, and you walk out into this absolutely beautiful waterfalls, flowing streams, little park. And so it just really shifts your perception. And it's very, very unique. It's a very unique labyrinth walk, and it's open to the public right in the middle of Sedona.
Never heard of that one before. I'll have to keep it on my radar. Since you do all of this kind of work and you do a lot of energy work, do you feel or have you experienced a difference between the energy of the classical and the chart?
Well, I do. And it may be, and I always think about these things, I mean, I'm in love with the Seventh Circuit form because that's the one I was first introduced to. Much like I'm sure Lauren Artress is in love with the chakra form because that was the first one she, quote-unquote, discovered. And I just find that as a therapist and as an introducing to people who aren't familiar with labyrinths, working with the Seventh Circuit is a little bit easier. For one thing, it's simpler to navigate. People don't get bored. They don't get so lost. You can get lost enough as it is making all those turns, but it seems to be a much gentler energy, more gentle energy, whereas the chakra can wind you up rather intensely, I think. And I think because the chakra is so associated with the cathedral, there's already a leaning towards looking at it through a Christian spiritual lens, whereas the Seventh Circuit is so old, so ancient, and so accommodating that I don't think people come to it with that kind of perception already ingrained. You know what I mean? So I think there is a difference. And that's why Judith joining the Labyrinth Ladies has really been a blessing in bringing that other awareness into our work.
Have you ever designed any free-form labyrinths, or have you walked any of the other designs, like the Santa Rosa?
Oh, yeah. We were also part of the New England Labyrinth Guild. I think it's sort of dormant right now, the New England Labyrinth Guild, but we were part of that, and we also spoke at several of their conferences. And at the end of their conferences, they would always have this huge gym at their disposal and bring several different kinds of labyrinths that everybody could walk. I mean, you just had a smattering of everything. It was just incredible. And Vicki and I also, because we freewheel, as we do, making things by eye, we've created a couple. I created a labyrinth form based on Reiki symbols for a Reiki class that had been studying, and this was sort of their graduation. Because if you look at even the most elementary Reiki symbol, the chakra ray, it's very much like a single circuit labyrinth. That was great. And then Vicki and I did a workshop called put on by the YWCA called Women's Spaces of War, which sounds kind of grim, but it was basically a symposium of women who have gone through various war experiences, everything from a survivor from the Holocaust camps to a mother whose son had passed away in Iraq, and their experiences, mothers, wives, you know, and women with war. And we created what's called a peace labyrinth. And again, this was based on Vicki especially studies the crane and the crane dance and the mythology around the crane. And we realized that the peace sign is actually a crane's foot. Comes from this long history of the crane being a bird of peace in Europe and in Asia. So we created a labyrinth called the Peace Labyrinth from that image. And it was very appropriate to the symposium.
And that sounds great. Did you walk this? And tell me the process a little bit. I mean, we have some time left, and we don't have any callers, so I'm going to get into this a little bit. When you decide to do something like this, the process of combining the design or the structure with ritual and ceremony, in terms of you said the crane dance, and so. Did you dress a particular way? Did you have incense? Did you what did you do to and what came first? Did you decide upon a theme or a mood that you wanted to invoke, and then you created what was necessary to support that, or how do you work?
We generally we work both ways. So sometimes we'll come up with a theme, or let's just say summer solstice. For instance, summer solstice, we'll pick the theme of fire and longest day, shortest night, and how that is actually a turning point, and then, you know, associate that with the turning points in the labyrinth. We always use drumming. We always smudge. We variously, if it's inside or outside, we'll use other forms of music. We've used gongs. We've been part of a gong bath, you know, leading a labyrinth through a gong bath, a four-directional gong bath. It depends on if we have a purpose, like the Women in Recovery Labyrinth has a purpose. I mean, this is what we're going to do. We're going to work with 12 steps, and we'll probably do some beautiful meditative music, and have other prompts for people to reflect upon. If I were to do a seven-circuit labyrinth based on chakras, I might have people stop at each of the circuits and meditate on bringing the energy of their chakras via the Reiki up through the earth and into their different centers. It's a chicken or an egg story. You know, we're very creative. We look at what people are asking us to do and why, and then create the ritual around it.
How do you do PR marketing for all of these things?
A lot of flyers. Also, we have several great publications here in Rhode Island. Rhode Island Natural Awakenings is one. We have a Rhode Island Wellness Guide. We have holisticlocal.com. I'm just learning Facebook, so just getting that up to snuff. Most people know me because I've been in the holistic community for about 35 years, and Vicki as well in the arts community. There are a lot of people that know us, and there are a lot of holistic support groups here in Rhode Island. Actually, I belong to two holistic networking groups here. So the word gets out in a lot of different ways.
So are you and Vicki planning any other events for 2010 that you want people to know about?
We are doing a summer solstice labyrinth at the Healing Co-op, which is a cancer support co-op here in Middletown, Rhode Island. That's going to be on June 18th. We're doing a labyrinth training for healers. That would be May 14th through 16th, also at the Healing Co-op in Middletown. And we're doing a similar workshop in Fall River, Massachusetts, at a center called Lotus Rising in June 4th through 6th. And so that's what's on the docket at this time. And
Can you just please tell us your website address again?
It's www.thelabyrinthladies.com.
Okay.
Yep.
Right.
And
everybody out there, pay attention. You're on the East Coast. Check them out. Well, now I'm going to ask this the $20 million question here. So what's your take on the role of labyrinth over the next few years leading up to the prophesied shift here, 2012?
I was hoping you were going to ask that because I thought that was an intriguing question to pose. I think I've been studying this for quite some time. I've been studying Native American prophecies since way back when. and we have been in the process of 2012 for quite some time. Actually, I think since the last harmonic convergence, way back in 87, 86?
Yeah, Jose Aguilas's thing, yep.
Yeah. We have actually, I think, been in the process because nothing happens on a dime. I remember when I first started studying with Oshana Fastwolf in 1984, she said, one of the first things she said was that there's a wobble in the earth and climate change was going to happen. Well, hello, that was way back when. Native prophecy has already looked at this, as have other indigenous cultures, and it's a process that is occurring along with, but I look at it as not destructive, and I get this question a lot on my blog too, is I don't see it as, it can be destructive, as all things can, but the other side of that coin is enlightenment. And if the world becomes enlightened en masse, it has the hopes of positive change in it. So within every opportunity, every crisis, there's an opportunity, you know? So I see it just that it's a tipping point indeed, but that it can move for the better. It doesn't have to be destructive. Now, the role of the labyrinth, well, every labyrinth is a PowerPoint. It's like an acupuncture point being created on Mother Earth. And so the more labyrinths that are being walked in a sacred manner and being created in a sacred manner and being brought to consciousness in a sacred manner, the more positive energy is being shared between the above and the below and through the conduit, which is the sacred human. So, it's a feedback loop. It's a holistic feedback loop. There's always a system that's being affected. And, you know, if you get enough people thinking in the same way, and, you know, this is the basis for things like Abraham and affirmations and such, then I think positive effect can occur.
And it's exponential. That's what people don't get. It's exponential. So it might seem like there is way more darkness than there is light on the planet, and what can we do with one little labyrinth? But it is exponential. You only need a few people wishing for peace and unity and cleansing and clearing and to boost it a hundredfold in that direction. So thank you.
I just wanted to share a card with your folks. If you had 2 minutes,
okay.
Like 1 second. I chose a card for this talk today, and especially with 2012 in mind. And the interpretation is this. It's the Hawaiian Oracle, by the way, by Rima Morel. And the bird is the Kauai bird. And it says, your consciousness is sufficiently high to ensure the desired change. As long as you keep this up, any obstacles in your way will be overcome. But consistency is essential. Koa means courage, A indicates rhythmic repetition. And I thought, wow, that's really moot to the point of labyrinth, rhythmic repetition, and 2012.
Absolutely.
I'd love to share that.
Absolutely. And that is so germane. That's amazing. That's incredible. That's wonderful. Well, thank you, Chris. We're actually but not streaming now, but it was wonderful talking to you. So thank
okay.
you so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much, Christiane.
And I hope sometime soon we'll get together with Victoria, too.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Namaste. You've been listening to Labyrinth in the News in the live category on blogtalkradio.com with your host, Christiana. Please join me April 21st when my guest will be Margaret McGee, author, playwright, and speaker on the topics of spiritual writing and prayer. Join me as we talk about her upcoming workshop on Bainbridge Island, Washington, and building labyrinths as a team, and what does that entail. Have a blessed week in Lakesh.